Okay, I'll think about it. I'll think about it, Kate. But if they don't
Right.
like me standing in the window staring at them in the middle of the night, they can freaking move, am I right? But yeah, I think we're recording here. So, hello, listener. Welcome to your new 28th favorite podcast, right behind the Angry Woodchuck Hour. It's Destroy the Files with Kate and Brent, a podcast we should probably delete shortly after recording, and where the only limit is your imagination.
Hi, I'm Kate, editor, writer, keeper of the keys.
I'm Brent, beer enjoyer, cave explorer, man-child. If you are at work, a child at work, pregnant nursing, attending nursing school, providing hospice care, a member of the clergy, a member of the FBI, or my own dear sweet mother, it is not recommended that you listen to this podcast. And how are we doing tonight, Kate?
We're doing good. How are things with you?
Well, I've recovered. You know, we were quiet for a couple weeks. I had to go down to Madison, drink too many beers, and then come back, and then get sick from not related to the drinking too many beers in Madison. But then I was sick, so we missed a couple recording sessions on account of me.
Yeah, don't let it happen again.
You're here. You were sitting here. You're a warrior, ready to go to battle with the internet. I let you down.
I am disappointed in you, Brent.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll never happen again.
No, I'm just, the shame is coursing through me right now. But before we get started, this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Jingleman's Caribou Thrack. It's the dead of winter. You're stranded in the dark, frozen north. Your fire is dying. Wolves in the distance. Hypothermia is a demon child laughing from the shadows. You reach into your pack, and what's that you find? Why, it's your Jangleman's Caribou Thrack. Looks like you're going to be just fine after all. Nobody thracks them like Jangleman's.
Welcome, new sponsor.
Yeah, I heard they're the best in the business when it comes to Caribou Thrack.
Yeah. So I was out walking around in the surprisingly light, well-lit evening today because of, and I saw a whole little family of raccoons, little trash pandas all out there getting ready to steal my tools. That'll be great. So,
I haven't checked in a while, but the last I knew, it was legal in all 50 states to shoot a raccoon with a bow and arrow if you can destroy the whole group with one arrow. Like if you just like skewer like six, and then the seventh one is just like, you know, it wound its leg or something, you're going up the river for that. But yeah, if you can line them all up with one arrow, thwack.
They're like, I don't know, they're half a dog, half a cat. I don't think I'd want to shoot one. But
don't pet them.
No.
They're filthy. Oh. You get sick. Oh. Yeah, they're covered in parasites. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, we had one appear in the yard, and for giggles, I called the animal rescue, and they're like, "Yeah, don't bring it here. We've got healthy animals here. We don't want any parasite ridden." No, I guess I didn't so much call as go to their website and read that, because I believe it was after hours. So then, what I did was I found another one, and I kind of just taped them to a tree, shot them with an arrow, and
you know what?
Tagged them.
We aren't going to talk about doing mean things to animals anymore. New rule.
What? You know, I hope that everybody listening knows that I would never, ever tape an animal to a tree and then shoot it with an arrow.
All right.
Was that asterisk? Did it sound like there was an asterisk there? Because there totally wasn't.
country kids, they do mean things.
So
we're afraid of you here in the city, you country people, and your bows and arrows and such.
Our bows and arrows and our jackknives. Now, when my dad was a young man, I'm not saying he ever played this game, but it was a game that they used to play. Because they always had pocket knives at school. This isn't small town northern Wisconsin, you know. I get to school and And some of the kids would take and unfold their pocket knife, and they hold it, and it is blade down towards their little toes there, and drop it. And the idea was you're trying to drop it in between your toes to see who can get the closest at the very least.
Oh, so, does your dad have all his toes?
Yeah, I don't believe he participated because, he's a very sensible man. But that game was played. I know that for a fact.
That's tough. That's why you guys are so rugged up there. You can just like weather all the problems that may come along.
Yeah, my kid's got a loose tooth, and I was trying to get him to let me get. Like, can I just wiggle it? Can I see how loose it is? And no, that turned into a thing. So it's these little different generational. My boy's tough in different ways, you know.
So, what's up on the agenda for our little cast of pod this week?
Well, I haven't gotten to royal news in a while, so I wanted to drop a little royal news on everybody. So, today, being March 8th, in royal family news this week, Buckingham Palace is undergoing some renovations, and I still don't get why the British people haven't risen up and devoured this family and then taken all their stuff.
What sort of renovations are they doing? Anything good?
Oh, I don't know. I just read the headline, and then I was like, fuck it. We got to do some royal news, you know. Unrelated, the White House is working on a new tennis pavilion. That's going to be awesome.
How about that tennis? It's good. Well, at least when they're quarantined, the old folks there at the White House, they'll have something to while away the hours.
Yeah. Or maybe they'll just, go insane. The virus will just turn them into, 28 days later monsters. And then they'll just like devour each other. I don't know. Would I send in my $35, $45 pay-per-view to watch that? Who am I to say? But, maybe I'd chip in at a friend's house,
Right. I would enjoy just watching a plain old quarantine with, like, a head cold. I'd watch that. I'd pay, some money to see any type of suffering up there. But, I'm a petty, petty person.
Yeah, we all are. So what do you got?
Well, in the... almost local news. There's the town, one town over from where I live here in Tahunga.
Is that the one where they shoot all the porn?
No, that's that's a little farther south. Pasadena is where they have the Rose Parade on New Year's Day, and other things happen there too because it's open year round. Pasadena is just a short little drive from next town over here. And there was the police in Pasadena responded to a report of a bee sting. So my first question after seeing that headline was, who calls the police when they get a bee sting? Like, who? Have you ever gotten stung by a bee and dialed the 911?
No, I got stung by a bee and got drunk.
Yeah.
No, who does call 911 for a bee sting?
And then the next question that popped into my mind is, what kind of police respond to that call? Because, I've called before and like a couple hours later, someone will, cruise on by to check that my windshield of my car really has been broken out with a brick or something. But that person, I guess, like if really rich people call and say I got stung by a bee, you think maybe it's really rich people or I don't know who it is, but what else can I call for? Like, oh my God, my drain is clogged. 911. Will that work? Like, so this Pasadena place, I don't know. Things are a little different there. The police responded to the call, And when the first responder got there, he rushed right up to the caller. And I don't know what you call them, a flock, a horde, a hive.
Swarm.
That's right. A swarm of bees descended on him, like 40,000. I don't know who counted them, but the headline, like the newspaper, 40,000 bees on this guy.
Oh, it's the homeowner reported the number, and the paramedic or the first responder was like, "Son of a bitch, I think he's right there. It's 40,000. Ah, I got stung on my elbow. You kidding me? Oh, I'm yelling. I'm gonna get in trouble. But I'm hoping that this story involves like a full SWAT response. But continue.
So, the SWAT team was called in.
No shit.
Yeah. That was great. And they closed the whole block down. And because, like, the bees were everywhere. There were pictures. It was great. A little video. They turned out to be Africanized bees.
Oh, no.
Which are the really aggressive types.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking they should be because they're dying off. And they have all the bee problems. Like, and these bees are pissed. Now they're taking over.
Yeah, well, the Africanized ones, they don't die when they sting you. So it might have only been 5 or 6, but dishing out.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Turns out 3 of the first responders ended up in the hospital. And then the fire department rushed in. Let's see. The spokesperson says that they've responded to bee calls in Pasadena, you know, as they do, but they've never seen one quite this bad. So 7 people in total got stung. 2 of them didn't need hospitalization.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. They sent in the guys in the suits to get the hive. Hive was taken to a new place. There were lots of smoke and everything was fine. But I'm a little worried about bees and ants, too. I suspect that they are not like regular bugs. I think, like, what were they called? A swarm?
Mm-hmm.
A swarm is like the animal, and the bees are like cells.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Right? And they mm-hmm. can come together. And what if they decide they're going to, like, form thumbs with that swarm, like hands and thumbs, and they start building like a big cement hive right in the middle of town, and they don't care about how traffic flows because they're bees and they're just like, fuck you people.
Sure.
We're building our hive right here, and it's going to be made out of cement, and they're going to go down to the Home Depot with their thumbs on their bee hands and get all the concrete. Just build the whole thing. I think
and
it's
voting and
we need to worry about it. I really think we do.
So, I mean, then you got to wonder, could somebody like marry a swarm of bees that had taken the shape of a human? And is like, oh, honey, you know, and then maybe had a fight. Like, you know, I don't care where you sleep tonight. You go back to the hive, you know. And she's like, oh, just had enough of this, dealing with this bee swarm person. She's running the bath, and then the lights flicker off. And she's like, huh? And it's dark. And she hears the floor creak, and she's like, huh? Bees? Is that you? And then you hear like one little buzz, and then maybe it grows. I don't know. I'm a writer. You're the one out in Hollywood for crying out loud.
But I feel like we need to accept the bee people. Otherwise, we would be, I don't know, what would that be? Insectist?
Speciesist?
Speciesist? Bee positivity.
There's going to be pushback from all over the place. And, you know there's going to be factions even within the bees. Like the bees... You know, they're going to disagree about how, you know, they're like, well,
like
we can clearly.
The African. I'm sure, and they're gonna
say like we should be the dominant species here. You know, these guys have had it; they've been screwing it up. Like, let's just fucking sting them all to death, and like no, that's too extreme. We can live in peace, and like they'll be fighting like that too. Mm-hmm. Man, the future.
Right. Scary. We have place. No idea what it's gonna be like. I think we may know about a year from now, though. I have a feeling. The future is here.
We're either gonna have some jetpacks or you're gonna be wearing, you know, some kind of a like the bonnet thing in your red dress, and I guess there's probably some gray area in between where it could fall.
Right.
So speaking of the future, I was reading an article about Mars and the Martian Hum. And so the robot that they're using up there has a seismometer tool who's measuring Mars quakes, and it started picking up the background hum of Mars there. Let's see. The lander also registered more than 400 quakes, confirming that Mars has plenty of seismic activity. Now, here's where it gets silly. The humming sound is thought to be a combination of wind above and geological movement below the Martian surface, although the exact cause remains a mystery, right? So I have a theory. Now, is it an alien prison colony? It seems like, okay, if I was an alien race and I had a bunch of prisoners and I wanted to lock them all up in one place, stick them underneath the surface of Mars. Venus can have trouble building facility there because anytime you try and land on the surface of Venus, you know, you get out and it's just going to eat through your spacesuit and kind of kill you pretty quick and stuff. But, you know, Mars is fairly harmless in that way.
So and, is Mars the hot one and Venus the cold one?
No, Venus is like all like acid soup and stuff. And then Mars is it's a little it's not hot there. Mercury's pretty hot.
Oh, Mercury's the hot. Yeah. All right.
Mercury, Venus, Earth, and then Mars. And so Venus is from stuff I've read, one of the most inhospitable places outside of the actual sun in our solar system. I could be wrong, you know. I read a lot of comic books for my science information, but anyway. Now, the hum would be the prisoners digging their way out. Have they made some sort of like a pneumatic tool, like jackhammers and stuff down there? They're jackhammering their way up to the surface, and when they get there, they're gonna come and they're gonna basically pillage Earth. I can only imagine just raping us all as they go. So, I mean, trigger warning. Sorry, everybody.
Those come before you say the word.
Son of a bitch, I knew it. All right, so I'm going to back that up. I'm just going to delete this whole thing up until here. So the Martian Hum is an alien prison colony, and the hum is them digging their way out. Trigger warning, they're going to rape us.
It's good. Where is our helper this week?
Gunther?
Delete that, Gunther.
Well, we'll get some bees down there, down in his scorpion box. Get him in the spirit of this episode.
So Mars, once they get out, like they're already really good at humming. Maybe I don't know when I hear a hum like a vacuum cleaner or like something ringing in my ears, I always hear like a men's choir singing all together.
Hmm.
Maybe it's a men's choir under the ground in Mars, and they're just practicing, and they don't want to sing out loud yet.
Maybe their bullshit men's choir singing is what got them thrown in space jail in the first place.
Oh, right. Because, man, that stuff is annoying.
And some of those aliens don't have any patience for that kind of... they don't appreciate the arts.
Hmm. Right. Which barbarians.
Bullshit, you ask me. Well, this portion of the podcast is brought to you by Mismatched Animal Battles. Can a giant toad hold its own against a gorilla on PCP? Can a rabbit put up a decent fight against an anaconda with brass knuckles? Can an endangered Galapagos tortoise fend off 6 hungry weasels who used to be Somali pirates? From the people who brought you stalking paranoid loners and swallow this fish, its mismatched animal battles, taste the juice of nature's unbridled fury.
Welcome.
I'm looking forward to that. I've been hearing good things about that program. I guess the host and the hostess of that one are a married couple, and they're really, really fun chemistry. She's like a used to be a school teacher and stuff. So,
school teachers always get the best second jobs. Like once they leave that profession, they just go crazy. Just do whatever they follow their heart.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. Follow my heart. And, you know, my heart takes me week in and week out to the waters of Castle Creek. I think you might have heard me talk about this before. Anybody talks to me for any amount of time ends up hearing about this. But as I'm a huge soap opera geek, and I have a tattoo of Victor Kiriakis that covers my entire back. But lately I just can't get enough of this one called The Waters of Castle Creek. It centers around the Waters family in Castle Creek, Arizona. And they're supposed to be this power family of the city. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. And the town is supposed to be like this remote, you know, like metropolis along the Grand Canyon somewhere. Anyways, if you don't mind, I was hoping you wouldn't mind if I could give last week's recap of last week's episode. Okay.
Yeah.
This is just writing on a whole new level for soap operas for me. Okay, so Angel Waters is in a coma from the car accident she was in while she was under hypnosis, and her twin brother Angelo has discovered that Dr. Haven was the one who hypnotized Angel. And he was spying on Angelo was spying on Dr. Haven. He's about to discover that the doctor's motive when Luke Marston catches him. And Luke has a long-standing feud with Angelo because Luke was in love with Vicky Hastings, who was in love with Angelo, who didn't love Vicky back. So brokenhearted, Vicky committed suicide by jumping into the Grand Canyon. Well, or so we've been led to believe. I have my own theories about whether or not we'll be seeing Vicky again. But so Luke has Angelo at gunpoint when we leave them, and Father Wayne reveals that he killed a man in the 60s and let his grandmother take the fall, and she got the electric chair. Now, Antoine McFrench, he's this smooth-talking Australian, he's seduced Rebecca Waters, and Rebecca talks in her sleep. So that's how Antoine finds out that Rebecca's son Nathaniel was fathered by Hugo Van Hugovan, not her husband Franklin Dumont, who happens to be Antoine's only friend. And Antoine knows that if Franklin knew, he'd kill Hugo, which Antoine would like because Hugo wants to get Antoine deported. But he can't say anything because Franklin would kill him too if he knew how Antoine got this information. So Mayor Gimpshin reveals that he never really liked Cody's hat. And then the Waters Medical Research Institute, this is where it really gets really good for me. The Waters Medical Research Institute that was suicide bombed on the last episode, just as they were about to cure snakepox of all things, has just discovered that the bombers also used a chemical weapon in their attack, which reacted with their nearly complete snakepox vaccine to make a deadly cloud of super snakepox that hangs over the whole city, right? And so everyone in Castle Creek is assumed to be positive for super snakepox, and the government is like quarantining the area, and the whole town is about to be firebombed in 1 week unless the cure for super snakepox can be found. But the only one who can solve it and find the cure is Angel Waters, and she's still in the coma from before. And then Adrian reveals that he has a blister on his taint, and Grandpa Waters is trying to jump the Grand Canyon on his rocket bike, which his grandson Derek has attempted to sabotage. At the end of the episode, he's just staring down the ramp. He's just about to start going when they cut away to the hospital, where we find out only Grandpa Waters can revive Angel from the coma so that she can save the whole town from super snakepox and save the town from firebombing. I know.
That is so cool. I love the Grand Canyon.
And Mina does too. She's
yes.
Definitely on board for the Waters of Castle Creek.
Quite excited by that description.
Yeah. I get fired up. I get fired up over my soaps.
When's the next episode for that one?
Yeah, so the next episode of that should be up, I don't know. I don't know when it airs. I pirate them. Everything. I basically pirate everything. This is not an admission of guilt, but yeah, I steal everything.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one. Yeah, I'm going to look for that. So have we received any letters lately?
Yeah, I got a couple letters here.
Yeah, on my end, I haven't really gotten any letters, but I do have this app that my daughter tricked me into signing up for. I don't know how that happened. Send me a link. She said, I would love it. Just go ahead, yeah. Put your email in there. And now I'm a member, or I get lots of messages for Nextdoor, which is, it lets me, gives me insight into the people who live in my area. So the neighbors that I don't make a lot of eye contact with, I now get to know what's on their mind. Most of the time, it seems like they're very, very concerned with their mail, whether people are looking at their mail or touching their mail or... I don't know. I don't care that much about my mail. I get some store flyers and like some bullshit. I don't know. I don't get a lot of mail. Like I check it every couple of weeks. But the folks in my neighborhood seemed very, very interested in the goings on around their mailboxes. They, an awful lot of them don't really understand how Airbnb works and how that like... People will sometimes stay in a house for a couple of days and then they're not there anymore. They find that very mysterious.
And what's he building in there?
They're remarkably concerned about traffic signs for some reason. The placement of the signs, the adherence to their instructions, and for some reason, this all concerns the children. It's all for the safety of the children. There's a lot of children, although I have never seen a child in my whole neighborhood ever. Like, ever. Like, I saw one stroller once, but I don't think there was a kid in there.
Like a monkey or something? I think it was there ain't no kids in this neighborhood. I've been looking.
So I thought I'd share a couple of the messages. I'm not going to say who said this because I don't actually know who this person was, but she lives close by. So how do we stop people from going through our neighborhoods at night, going from car to car, testing every door handle for the one car that was inadvertently left open? They transfer pathogens from one handle to another, and the owners of the cars aren't even aware. Really? That was your concern? Like pathogens. The germs? And there was a response that if it bothers you, spray Lysol on it. And the fellow said, sheesh, people, and panic, shaking my head. No wonder stores are sold out of toilet paper. Don't wipe your door handles with toilet paper, for God's sakes, please. My neighbors, right?
They could put out. They could put out some surgical gloves. You know, just put out a little box. Like take a couple. You know, if you're going to be trying these handles.
I might need to be moving to Pasadena, where like you don't have to worry about germs. Here's another from another neighbor, the one street over. I think this has got a little tone because. I'm going to try and read it. Isn't it great when it's windy on trash day? I don't think she really thinks it's great when it's windy on trash day.
But someone's to blame, goddammit.
I swear, 25 years here, and Sunday night, and Monday morning, wind always makes me think FML. Really? And the response to this one was, 1-800-BLOW-ME. Really, wind on trash day. Fuck my life. Like, you got to get some better problems, ladies. Seriously. All right.
If that would just stop being so gusty on trash day, she could finally get off heroin.
Well, I hope she's not listening to the podcast because we're making the fun out of my neighbors. They'll come over and they'll, like, I don't know, give me cupcakes or something. I don't think I ever got that when I moved in.
I'll get uncomfortably close to your mailbox and see how you like it.
Yeah. I could easily say every other message on my neighborhood app has something to do with either unusual people who appear in people's porch cam or people touching their mailboxes. Easily every other one. I'm going to go down the street. I'm touching them all. Doing it. I'm going to like open them up even maybe.
Just coughing them.
Might go to prison. Although, you can call the police here all day long. They're not going to come.
I'll try that shit in Pasadena.
Right? That's it for my neighborhood update.
Well, yeah, I got a couple letters here in the mail sack. Hi, Destroy the Files. I'm not sure who to talk to about this. I'm at a crossroads in my life. I'm 19 and just finishing my first year of college. I've been seeing this guy for a few months. He's a really great guy, and we have a lot of fun. Neither of us has ever had sex before, but it's pretty clear that he really wants to. I thought I'd have a little more time to make this decision. If I don't sleep with him, I'm worried he'll break up with me. If I do sleep with him, he won't be a virgin anymore. And if he's not a virgin, he can't be sacrificed to the great beast come next October. But October is so far away. I don't know what to do. Help. And that's from Sheena in Salt Lake City. Thanks for the letter, Sheena.
Oh, easy solution. Blowjobs.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
Almost sex, but it doesn't count.
Yeah. She doesn't seem like she's very experienced, so just make sure he doesn't get any in your hair, because I've heard that's an issue.
I got nothing.
Next one is, hey, Kate and Brent. I've always kind of rolled my eyes at the thought of vampires, but lately I'm beginning to see the appeal. Rock all night, sleep all day, turn into a bat, hiss when you get offended, drain the life of people I don't like for my own sustenance. There's a lot to like. Just wondering, can you recommend any decent vampire movies to me? And that's from Clementine in Palm Springs. Oh, thanks for the letter, Clementine.
Wow, vampires. Obviously, immortal beasts. I don't know that they're my favorite.
They're not my favorite either.
What if it was snot instead of blood? Like, that is so gross. Nobody realizes vampires are all sexy because they're biting necks and drinking blood, but that is so disgusting.
I think they hit a good balance with that the kind of disgustingness of it to the From Dusk Till Dawn is one of my favorite vampire movies. Selma Hayek, pretty hot. And there's some, you know, a lot of them are like horror, half-transformed kind of things. And, you know, then there's like What We Do in Shadows. That's not to be missed.
What's the one that's set in the northern part of Alaska?
Oh, yeah, 30 Days of Night.
Yes, that's my favorite. That is so creepy because you're stuck. You got 30 days. You got to live with them.
Yeah. And then Josh Hartnett's running around telling you what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Let the Right One In is a quality movie. And then, of course, the ultimate vampire movie out of all of them. Blade, starring Wesley Snipe.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
Although Gary Oldman as the old one, that was pretty good in the Dracula.
Yeah. Yeah, that movie had a lot to like about it. Anthony Hopkins was a delight. Keanu Reeves just hit that accent out of the park. Amazing actor, I've always said. Who's the redhead vampire chick? Was that Lucy or Mina? Anyway, the vampire chicks were pretty easy on the eyes in that movie.
Yeah.
Pretty girls.
So would you want to be a vampire?
I don't know. There's a lot that I like to do during the daytime. I guess I could put a light on a boat and go night boating and stuff, but I don't know. It seems like I'd get in trouble. I don't know. Because the thing about being a vampire is that they always... they don't none of them live forever. They live until they die horribly. So they always die horribly.
I think that immortality thing could get kind of old. I don't know. Just all that pop culture, like you have to stay up with the music, like for decades and decades and decades, and just so much work.
They should have been building, you know, human farms in like the 1800s anymore. They, you know, it's just not going to work. But, oh, and we forgot about, what you call it with your boyfriend, Will Smith.
What was that
one? I Am Legend, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to say it. I like the book better.
Usually the books are better. I can think of maybe two cases when that's not true.
Oh, name names.
Oh, I have to tell you? All right.
Dear Destroy the Files, my 4-year-old son says the haha monster crawls out from under his bed every night and does mean things. He gets lots of weird bruises and there are claw marks on the floor under his bed. I want to dress up like the haha monster and hide out under there. Really scare the bejesus out of him, but I don't know what a haha monster looks like. Have you heard of this? Any suggestions? And that's from Mandy in Seaside, Colorado. I can only imagine the haha monster. It's like some clown stuff to him a little bit. Sounds like he's got claws, but...
Well, I think just, you know, if you're under the bed and the lights are out, just doesn't really matter what you're wearing.
If you could come up with something that had some glowing eyes to it, I think that'd be a good addition.
Why don't human eyes glow?
Well, I find
that very disappointing.
Well, they do. You know, we got red eye in photos. They're like all lit up.
Right. Never mind. I am mistaken.
I'm not editing that out, Kate. That's staying in.
Gunther, take that out. Take it out.
Well, this portion of the podcast is sponsored by Father O'Malley's Psychedelic Laxatives. Whether you're bound up and looking to shatter your consciousness, or you just want to spend your Saturday tripping balls on the toilet, Father O'Malley's Psychedelic Laxatives are the psychedelic laxatives you should reach for. Trusted for over 75 years, Father O'Malley has always provided the strongest legal laxative mixed with by far the most potent psychedelics available. And yes, they're kosher. That's Father O'Malley's Psychedelic Laxatives. Cleanse your colon and your mind. I'm sold. I'm going to try them out.
Why not? Best of both worlds, right?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, I was going to get Gunther's journal. I know where he keeps it now.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a chance today to go in there and swipe it and make a quick copy of a couple pages. But hopefully in the future I can get some get some Gunther's journal. But, I mean, then he's going to know.
Well, you just announced it to the world. To all of our listeners, I'm sure they're going to tell. Also, do you keep a journal?
No. No, I could never commit these awful thoughts of mine to the page. Do you?
I do. It was my New Year's resolution last year. I write really interesting things like, there was traffic on the 210. It's useless. And I take a picture of myself. I don't know. It's wonderful.
I have a voice recorder. Back in the day, when I was doing a lot more driving, like from the Twin Cities to here in Tomahawk or all over the place, I would always get out my voice recorder and listen to some Tom Waits and work on my Chuggy stories. And a lot of the voice recordings are bitching about other drivers on the road. But now imagine that in, say, this 20-mile stretch of road that I'm on, there are probably, I don't know, 6 cars total. You know? And I'm only going to encounter 3 of them. And somehow, one of those 3 cars pisses me off to the point where I'm just bitching for 15 minutes on tape. It's hilarious. And I used to go way over the top because when I played them back, I would play it back at double speed because I had a lot of long pauses and stuff and a lot of and-ums. And so I'd play it back like it sounded like a chipmunk. So there's this angry chipmunk raving about getting stuck behind a tractor. Get that tractor off the road, motherfucker. It was really, really hilarious.
Mm.
Now I switched to digital. I don't even use the damn thing. I got to go back to tape, so I'll use it.
I have tried, while I'm driving, reciting my story ideas into the little microphone, and I just, brain doesn't work that way. I don't know why. I just keep saying the same sentence over and over. I get really good first sentences and just repeat them over and over. Nothing else comes.
Yeah, that son of yours is a very willful boy, Mr. Torrance.
Yep, kind of like that, like a psychopath. There's a good sentence. I'll just keep saying it. All right, that's probably it for this week, don't you think?
Yeah, we can stop right there. Thanks for listening to Destroy the Files. I'm Brent.
I'm Kate.
And now we're going to go delete this son of a bitch. Good night.
Good night.
And delete this thing now.
Yeah. Delete that, Gunther.